todolisthome.com. Welcome. I'm your host, Tony Teolis, and I'm keeping track of things to do around the home for a better life. Today is January 14, 2012. This is episode 31 of the To Do List Home podcast. Bees prepping for winter, making beautiful honey. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is With or Without You by U2, recorded on the Joshua Tree from 1987. Have a listen at amazon.com, and the link can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community sufficiency and reliance, retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. Subscribe, connect with us, listen to us on iTunes in podcasts. Watch the To Do List Home videos on our YouTube channel, Tokyo73. Be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites can be found at the todolisthome.com website. We hope you'll share your to-do list ideas with us. You'll also find useful files that you can download on the menu bar of the todolisthome.com website. Feel free to view and use the files for your to-do lists. And as I mentioned on today's list is, I wanted to give a video that I put together of the October 9 beehive inspection to see how well the bees were preparing for winter. If you go to YouTube at Tokyo 73, you will see that the top video for today at least is Bees Prepping for Winter Making Beautiful Honey. Now, I did this in October, but I knew that the video I took was very important to, one, put on a website for my own records so that I can look back during these bleak winter days we're having right now. It's 35 degrees in Northern Virginia, and there's no way I can go ahead and open up the beehive and take a look and see how things are going. But looking back at this video helps me understand how well prepared the bees were. If you listen to the recent episode that I put together on that the bees were doing well, that was episode 28 at todolisthome.com. Honeybees are alive and well. Last Saturday, it was 65 degrees here in Northern Virginia, so I took advantage of the good weather. The bees were out flying a little bit, not all of them, a few of them, and I went in and opened up the beehive and checked their food stores, checked to see how the honey is holding up for them. And if you listen to that episode at todolisthome.com, that'll bring you up to speed a little bit on what they looked like a week ago. Today's episode is how they got to that point. It goes back, it's October 9. The video itself is a great view inside the beehive to really show what the bees were doing to get ready for winter. Now, the first thing I did during this beehive inspection on October 9, as I normally do, was I sprayed the front entrance a little bit with the sugar water and a little bit of honeybee healthy mixture. Then I pull the screened bottom board cover out and I spray through the underside of the hive through the screen bottom a little bit of this sugar water as well. Opening up the beehive, this seems to be very good. It seems to attract the bees down to the bottom of the hive away from where I will be opening at first, and it helps to calm them down and get them a little attentive to something else other than me. So when the video opens, it's with the lower deep that I begin to show the film, and I wanted to show that in the lower deep, as I pulled out a few of the frames, these frames were quite full and busy during the spring and summer, but right now they're not much of anything in the frames. However, there is foundation that the bees are reforming, and they're storing pollen and water to help keep them healthy and well fed and nourished through part of the winter. And this is, again, in the fall as well. There's a lot of bees on the frames of the lower deep. And in one frame that I pull out, it's the second frame that I pull out. It was rather tricky because there just seemed to be so many bees attached there at the bottom. Now, this may have been partly due to putting some of the sugar water down there near the screen bottom board, but when you take a look at the frames here in the video, the bees are just so well clumped together here that they're really active trying to fill in the frames with pollen and some other stores. I only needed to go ahead and look at a couple of frames. I didn't want to make this too intrusive of a inspection. So I just pulled about three frames. In fact, it was three frames only that I pulled out from the lower deep, inspected them to see about the activity, and it all looks very well. They all seem to be very active trying to make sure that comb is there ready to store pollen. I smoke the bees. I spray a little bit of water on them as well to help draw them away from the top of the bars down into the frames themselves so that I can place the upper deep on top without crushing any of them. At the same time, though, before I put the upper deep on, I removed the apistan strips that I had placed on about 6 weeks before, and I checked the two beetle traps that I have. I have a couple of hive beetle traps. These are little plastic trays that hold vegetable oil, and they're very useful for trapping the pesky little hive beetle, which if you don't trap can lead to larvae being laid out around the hive and causing destruction to any honey stores. One of the things that I wanted to do was see if I needed to remove them completely. There were a few hive beetles in there, maybe about five or six in each trap that I had, and these traps are capable of probably holding hundreds of hive beetles. So I just emptied them and replaced a little bit of vegetable oil in one trap in the lower deep, removed the apistan strips, and then I placed some fondant candy that I had made on top of the bars of this lower deep. The fondant candy, I give a recipe for that in episode 28 at todolisthome.com. But the fondant candy is very simple to make. It's a mixture of light corn syrup, granulated pure sugar, and just a little tiny bit of cream of tartar. When you mix it up, stir it with a wooden spoon very well, and then what I do is I microwave it until it's the right bubbly texture that's still clear and not brown at all, and I pour it into a flat surface covered with wax paper and let that cool, and that's my fondant candy. And that's a really nice way to be able to make sure that the bees have enough hard food stores to get them through the winter, because now that it's winter, I cannot keep any liquid food stores on top. Additionally, they really don't need the extra candy. It doesn't hurt to have it there. However, their honey stores that they've made for themselves are, I think, more than enough to help get them through the winter. Once I replaced all of the frames in the lower deep, I went ahead and placed the upper deep on top and inspected these frames. As you can see from the video at YouTube channel Tokyo73, the frames that I pull out all have beautiful white-capped honey at the top and sides of the frames with pollen in the middle, a lot of bees all around, a lot of activity. And for your humor here, you'll see that the bees were quite active even with as much protective gear as I had on. I still managed to experience a bit of pain during this inspection. It's quite beautiful to go and see the bees and look at how they're doing. You have to be very careful. I have to move. When I did get stung as I was looking at the frames, I was not as slow as I should have been in replacing the frame right after I got stung. But I continued with the inspection. Next are what looks to be little white packs of something, and these are grease patties. These grease patties are a mixture of sugar, honey and a bit of Crisco to help keep the bees interested in feeding something that's nice and sweet, but it also covers them in a grease that prevents any tracheal mites from attaching to the lungs of the bees. After the upper deep inspection, I replaced the honey super, and the inspection of the honey super reveals how well the bees were off back on October 9th to really storing a lot of honey for themselves for the winter. This is not honey that I will take. There's beautiful white-capped honey in the honey super. It is just fabulous to look at. The bees were very protective of it. I was very careful and calm as I was looking at everything, but it's just really nice to know that through some management techniques that I've been able to learn since I've been managing this beehive, which began on April 23rd, 2011, that I was actually able to imagine in advance what I wanted the bees to accomplish, and here it is. It is really a job well done by them. A lot of white-capped honey. In October 9 inspection, on a video, it doesn't look like it's all completely capped over, but shortly after, I checked again, and all of the honey that was in the honey super was capped. So that means it'll store for them, it'll keep well, and then during the winter, as they need to move around the hive, the last place they will go, since they feed from the bottom up, will be the honey super, where these large stores of honey are waiting for them. And again, on top of the upper deep and on top of the honey super, I placed a little bit of fondant candy just to make sure that there is enough nourishment to help get them through the winter. It's a rather short video. What's really nice is I put this to music, the music I got from danosongs.com, and the music for the video today is En la brisa. And in the end, it looks like the bees are well prepared for winter, which I was able to verify last week, which was, 3 months after I had done this inspection. So the nice thing about taking care of these bees is in October, and even before that, from April, I was trying to imagine how to begin with a hive of 10,000 bees to turn it into a hive of approximately maybe 50 or 60,000 bees at the peak of summer. And now in the depths of winter, we're probably somewhere between 40 and 50,000 bees. I'm guessing by weight in a number, I'm guessing by the weight of the frames. And it's amazing to see that these creatures, with just a little bit of care, will thrive and learn how to propagate and survive and prepare to be able to survive right now. So they've done all the work. They've been very busy. If you've seen any of the other bee videos that I've put at YouTube channel Tokyo 73, you will see how busy these girls were all summer, spring, and fall. And it's really paying off for them now. No grasshoppers in this lot. So I hope you enjoy this little explanation. If you go to YouTube channel Tokyo 73, you'll see the video that goes along with it. And I just want to throw a plug out there for the Walter T. Kelly Bee Company. They've been awesome to me. I call sometimes for advice. They've always been quick with friendly responses. I recently ordered a queen from them to help split my hive in the spring. If everything goes well, I'll turn this one hive into two. And I explain a little bit more about that in episode 28 at todolisthome.com. But the Walter T. Kelly Company is where I got the bees originally. They're located in Clarkston, Kentucky. The web address for them is kellybees.com. At the same time, it wouldn't be right for me to talk about kellybees.com without mentioning Brushy, B-R-U-S-H-Y, BrushyMountainBeeFarm.com. And this is the company where I've gotten my hive parts. So with kellybees.com, I get the bees. Although I could get parts there too, I found that the parts from BrushyMountainBeeFarm.com are really fantastic parts. You can tell by the videos what kind of hive I'm working with. The frame, the foundations. I got the beehive a year before I ordered any bees. And so having a long-term association with Brushy Mountain Bee Farm, and again, when you call there, they're friendly, they answer your questions. I find a lot of questions on Bee Source Forum, but when you call a company, somebody answers, they're friendly, they let me know if what I'm considering to purchase is going to be the right thing or not. And sometimes they will tell me that I don't need to purchase something. And this is very important because beekeeping is not an inexpensive hobby. However, the dividends that it does pay off later, if you can foresee those and plan for those, do outweigh the initial setup costs. And a lot of times these are just initial setup costs that you have to begin with. I closed episode 28 last week by talking about the investment, the return on investment I've gotten from the bees. And I'll just say it here again. The reason we do this is not just because from a nature-loving point of view and having gardens and being able to have a lot of pollinators around, being able to help bring back bees from colony collapse disorder, and being interested in helping to raise life forms in my property, this is a real nice return. I started with 10,000 bees. The initial cost was probably a little more than $100 just for the bees. And I was able to propagate that population to 50,000. If all goes well, I'll be able to propagate it further to 100,000 by the end of this coming summer. That is a 10 times return on initial investment. Although for the second queen that I ordered from kellybees.com, I did have to lay out another $26. But to me, that's a small payment to help bring a second hive into existence. So being able to take something and get a 10-time return on it with just minor investment throughout that period is really something to look into. That's something that I know I can control. It's not money that goes into the stock market that I leave up to other people to control and hope for the best and leave my fate to watching the stock market go up and down on a daily basis. Again, I'm dealing with nature. Nature bats last. All the bees could be wiped out tomorrow. But I'm in control, and if I do things and I ask questions and I follow the right type of management plan and I'm willing to adjust and I'm willing to help care for the bees and, more importantly, step out of their way so that they can help care for themselves too, then the return on investment is really a beautiful thing with this and really, really rewarding, more so than you could experience with any stock investment. That's it for today. Now I advise you to go out and do something useful.